Alma Farm. This is James Edwards. Proceed, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Keith Schneider. I'm representing the estate of Greg Palma. Your Honors, this is a case where I'm asking the court to overturn a jury verdict as being against the manifest weight of the evidence. The central premise of my argument is that the forensic evidence produced in this wrongful death case, where the decedent was shot to death during some sort of incident in relation to the Downers Grove SWAT team following a barricade situation, contradicts the testimony of eyewitnesses to the extent, Your Honors, that no reasonable person or basis in fact was there for the verdict. The central premise of my case starts with the pathology testimony from Dr. Tease, who was the coroner of the case, who did the autopsy, who stated that as a global principle from forensics, if a bullet goes into a person that's running from behind, there should be an angle to the bullet. And these bullets went in at an almost horizontal angle.
But Mr. Schneider, I think one of the problems here is, where's the contrary evidence to Dr. T's testimony? You haven't pointed us to any medical evidence with which to compare the expert's testimony.
She's the person that did the autopsy.
Right.
And
well, she's an expert.
And here's what I'm saying, that her own testimony of what the science is contradicts her opinion in this case. Her testimony is that the bullets went in at an almost horizontal angle, but if the decedent was running, there should have been a angle that proceeded from the lower back up to the area around the shoulders. That was her testimony. And her opinion contradicts the science. Now, that's the first...
Then where is the science? That's my question to you. Where is the science?
The science is in her testimony, where she herself indicated what the principle of bullet angles and entries was. And in relation to her own espousing of that angle, her opinion contradicts her own science. That's what I'm saying in regard to that. Then, from that point, we go to other factual matters that are inconsistent in relation to the admission from Deputy Chief Harrison to Alma Palma, the mother of the decedent, at the Command and Control Center shortly before Greg Palma was shot, wherein Deputy Chief Harrison told Alma Palma that her son was safe in custody and she could see him at the police station.
Well, and that's for the jury to determine whether that's credible.
Well, okay. And I agree with you, but the scenario is that it was unrefuted by any direct test. Deputy Chief Harrison didn't come in and refute that statement, and nobody else did. Okay, now wait, but there's another point to that. The secondary point to that is that in relation to this police handcuffing, which is a very central component to my appeal, because in the police record itself, and as admitted by one of the investigating DuPage County state's attorneys, I believe, or people doing the investigation, said that it was admitted that the decedent was handcuffed sometime during this incident. And then the testimony, when you go through the record, you'll see that all of the officers denied, in fact, that they ever saw him handcuffed.
Well, a bystander, a paramedic, a SWAT commander, a member of the bomb squad, all of them testified that they never saw him handcuffed. And the jury heard all of this, did it not?
Well, the question at that point, yes, the jury heard all this. Mm-hmm. But then the question is that those denials were, there was an admission that he was handcuffed, but then there was the admission that it happened after he was shot. But there's no testimony, there was no eyewitness testimony that came in that, that anybody ever saw him handcuffed after he was shot. And the people that were there were right on the scene. All the SWAT people said that they didn't see him handcuffed after he was shot. And then the bomb squad people who were there within a minute, shortly after, testified they didn't see him handcuffed after he was shot. Now, if you put that in relation to the admission by Chief Harrison and in relation to the testimony of Dr. Tease, there's one further final factual consideration that you have to take, ladies and gentlemen. I see my light is on, so I'm going into my rebuttal now. But that is that this guy, Greg Palmer, the decedent, had a surgically reconstructed pelvis. I mean, plates, rods, and screws. He was supposed to have exited by wearing a full fireman's raincoat, carrying a sawed-off shotgun in his hand, crawling under a lattice that's probably about this height for 30 feet. Then the lattice was pushed in. Take a look at the picture. The lattice is a thin wood mannerism. There's no damage on that lattice. How did he crawl out of that? And it's not pushed to the ground, it's up. How did he crawl out of that without the breaking it in some fashion? And then the other point is there's no fingerprints on that sawed-off shotgun. And then when the police forensics said that they recovered three firearms during the negotiation, but in the picture, which I refer to as the magic triangle, the forensic triangle of what was recovered, there were two shotguns and there was an axe. And so what I'm saying is when you put together the forensic evidence of Dr. T's own global testimony that she refutes in her own opinion, together with the evidence regarding the admission, the police denials of the handcuffing after he was shot, leads to the only conclusion, I think, that is reasonable, and that is that if he wasn't handcuffed after he was shot, then he was handcuffed before he was shot. And if you put that together with what the Lieutenant Harrison said, that he was handcuffed, then I think that the only, and I know it's difficult to come to this point, but I think the only reasonable inference from the facts are that he was, in fact, handcuffed before he was shot, got away, and then somehow was shot by James Edwards, who didn't even talk about the manner in which he shot. That he thought that the shotgun went off, but it was misperceiving his own weapon firing. He thought it was returning fire, and all the controversy and all the officers that said that they saw the shotgun flash, which was refuted by the forensic testimony of Detective Vaughn, that in fact there is a very limited flash from an AR-15, and it couldn't be confused with a shotgun flash. So when you put all this together, ladies and gentlemen,
that's what you say when you're arguing to a jury.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying is that to come to a conclusion outside of that isn't supported by the forensic evidence.
Thank you. Go ahead, counsel.
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Jim Diano. I represent the defendants in this lawsuit. The plaintiff's argument basically suggests that there are questions of fact in this case as to whether Mr. Palmer was handcuffed, whether he was running at the time that he was shooting, or it was at the time that he was shot. But we've already been through the trial of this case. Those questions of fact have been resolved by the jury. They heard all of the evidence, and we're not at a summary judgment stage in this case. The standard of review is whether the evidence in this case supports the verdict when viewed in a light most favorably to the defendant. And I would submit that there's ample evidence in this case on both of these issues, that Mr. Palmer was running and that Mr. Palmer was not handcuffed at the time that he was shot. There were no less than seven witnesses who saw Mr. Palma immediately before, seconds before the shooting, and at the time of the shooting, and disregarding all of the police witnesses, the one independent witness, the resident of the neighborhood who was out there watching this, saw that Mr. Palma was running. He was holding his arms bent. He was holding something in his arms, and his left palm was facing outward, and his right palm was facing inward. He was then shot, and within a moment after the shooting, two deputy sheriffs of DuPage County arrived on the scene of the shooting. They were not connected with the Downers Grove Police Department. The investigation was done by DuPage County, but they were there because they were with the bomb squad, and Mr. Palma had threatened that he had had explosives. So they were on the scene within a minute of the shooting, and they found Mr. Palma on the ground, not handcuffed, and within inches of his outstretched left hand, there was a loaded shotgun. The jury heard all of this, and they resolved all these questions in favor of the defendant. The suggestion that Dr. T somehow, her testimony is not logical or credible, the argument was made before the jury, just as it was made here, and it was rejected because, as you point out, Your Honor, there were no scientific principles that contradicted her testimony. She testified that the location and the tracking of the bullets through Mr. Palma were consistent with Mr. Palma running past the field of vision of the shooter from the shooter's right to the shooter's left and then falling down, and the evidence of the four shots striking the house is consistent with Officer Edwards moving from his right to his left. And at that point, he had justification under Sherrod versus Berry, under Graham versus Connor for the shooting because he was aware that Mr. Palma had made threats to kill people all day long. He was aware that Mr. Palma had entered the home of this woman with a chainsaw. He was aware that Mr. Palma had told the negotiators that if any police officer came near the home, he would shoot them. He would explode explosives that he had wired to his body and wired to the building. And Officer Edwards also knew at that time that Mr. Palma had told negotiators that he had been pointing out a window, a rifle, at Officer Edwards, who was standing on a rear perimeter of this standoff. So Officer Edwards was aware of the violent threat made by Mr. Palma, and he was also aware that he was pointing a shotgun at Officer Edwards and Chief Graves at the time of the shooting, and that if Mr. Palma got past Officer Edwards, he would have been into a residential neighborhood with a shotgun after making all of these threats. And I think, as you know, police officers have to make decisions on the use of force, decisions which are made a split second in situations that are tense and rapidly unfolding. Officer Edwards made the decision here. I would submit to you that that decision was reasonable based upon everything I've told you, everything the evidence showed about threats and the serious nature of those threats, and the fact that Officer Edwards was protecting the neighborhood by exercising deadly force. The statement by Mrs. Palma at trial that she had been told by Deputy Chief Harrison that Mr. Palma was in handcuffs, at best, that is an admission by an employee of a party. It is not a binding judicial admission. It's an evidentiary admission. It may be rebutted. It was rebutted here by multiple witnesses who testified that Mr. Palma was never in handcuffs before the shooting, and he was not in handcuffs at the time of the shooting. The witness that Mr. Schneider referred to with DuPage County, the investigator, that was a Detective Webster, testified that he had been told by someone, and he didn't know who, but he had been told by someone that immediately after the shooting, when the SWAT members arrived at the location where Mr. Palma's body was, somebody handcuffed Mr. Palma because they were afraid, number one, that he was still alive, and number two, that he had, as he had threatened, wired his body with explosives. And they were afraid that he could detonate those explosives, so someone handcuffed him after the shooting. That's the only testimony there was at trial about actual handcuffing. The jury heard it, and they believed that the handcuffing occurred after the shooting. The fact that at the precise moment of the shooting, that there was no actual shot from Mr. Palma's shotgun is of no consequence in this case, because at that moment, Officer Edwards had justification, reasonably objective, based upon the evidence that you've heard, to use deadly force. He, as I've told you, he had knowledge of all of the threats. He had knowledge that Mr. Palma was approaching him with a shotgun. The fact that Officer Edwards accidentally fired that first shot, he fired that first shot as he already had determined that he was going to use deadly force to prevent Mr. Palma from getting past him into the neighborhood behind him. So, and again, the jury heard all of that evidence, and to the extent that the plaintiff's argument suggests that there are questions of fact, all of those questions of fact were resolved by the jury and resulted in a verdict in favor of the defendant, which is supported by all of the evidence in the record. Thank you.
Good call. 1 minute, sir.
I don't think that the defendant refuted the handcuffing at all. It's in the police record report that he was handcuffed, and there was all denials by eyewitnesses after the shooting that anybody saw him handcuffed. The inference from that has to be very strong that, in fact, he was handcuffed before he was shot. That basically comports with the admission from Lieutenant Deputy Chief Harrison. Take a good look at Dr. Teese's testimony, because she's pretty unequivocal when she said that if somebody's running and they're shot from behind, a bullet should go from the lower back up towards the shoulder. And her opinion, even though it's contrary to that, contradicts her science, that her scientific theory. It's like night and day. And when you put that together with the lattice, not take a look at the picture, that the lattice wasn't broken, wasn't even pushed all the way down, and the guy had the terrible injuries to his pelvis, I think that it's not a question of fact, and that's why I'm here. The country needs to confirm the testimony.
Thank you. We will take the case under advisement. Thank you, too, counsel, for your help.